Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. 8:06 on this Tuesday, March 5th. 21 degrees and light snow showers here in Old Town Park City. On the phone with us now with updated weather, we've got Thomas Giboy from the ABC Forecast Center. Good morning.
Morning, Leslie. Happy Tuesday to you on this Super Tuesday. If anybody's heading out the door this morning, we are seeing some snow showers throughout the Wasatch back with the bulk of the showers that we're seeing so far, mainly along and south of I-80. So if you're traveling anywhere between Park City and Heber, definitely a good idea to build in some extra time just in case. I'm looking at the Olympic Parkway and New Park Boulevard camera that we got, and we are seeing snow that is currently coming down with the snow sticking to the roads. The roads in large part are still okay, especially considering in the Wasatch back, but with the snow that is sticking to the roads, definitely a good idea just building that extra time just in case. We're looking at more unsettled weather not only as we go through today, but over the next few days as more energy and moisture continues to move in from the west. That's going to result in a 50-50 chance of snow showers more or less hanging around through the day. It looks like that best chance is mainly from now through around midday, but we'll even hold on to that chance through this afternoon. So at any point, don't be surprised if some snow finds you, as Park City will eventually see a daytime high climb into the middle 30s. And outside of any wet weather, we'll mainly check in with partly to mostly cloudy skies. And it will be a little bit breezy at time with those winds coming out of the south, anywhere from 10 to 15 miles per hour, with maybe the occasional gust upwards of 20 miles per hour. The chance of snow goes down a little bit tonight, but we won't be able to completely eliminate that chance, with roughly a 30% chance, with the overnight low dropping to 24 degrees tonight in Park City. And I also should mention that the daytime high in Heber this afternoon will climb to around 40, which means if we find wet weather during the heart of the afternoon in Heber, we actually could see a wintry mix or maybe even some rain briefly, depending on the timing of moisture. For Wednesday, almost a carbon copy of what we find today, 50-50 chance of snow, just a fraction warmer thanks to that southerly flow of wind. We'll be in the upper 30s in Park City and will likely be in the low 40s down in the Heber Valley. Then on Wednesday night, a 20% chance of seeing some snow with that overnight low falling to 22 degrees. I think Thursday, over the next 72 hours, probably brings us our best chance because a weak front is going to move across the state, a 70% chance of snow and a daytime high once again in the upper 30s in Park City. So from today through our Thursday, each day brings at least a 50-50 chance. Thursday probably brings us our best chance based on what I'm looking at currently. And as we go through the next few days, we could see a few inches throughout the Wasatch back. So not expecting much in the way of high accumulations, but we could see some minor accumulations of maybe a little bit more for Park City Mountain and for Deer Valley, where it could be upwards of half a foot if everything comes together. Then by Friday, our system moves away. High pressure will begin to build in. Temperature will drop briefly from Thursday night into Friday. Thanks to that front, we'll drop to 17 degrees on Thursday night. On Friday, the daytime high will come in at 34, which is about 5 degrees below our seasonal average. Mostly sunny skies. Nice day to take advantage of some of the fresh snow that we'll see over the next few days. And then for Saturday and Sunday, both days bring mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies. Temperatures warming pretty quickly. Should be in the low 40s in Park City on Saturday, maybe mid 40s on Sunday, all for some more active weather to come our way early next week with a chance of rain and snow on Monday, with the daytime high coming in at 46 degrees, Leslie.
Okay, Thomas, thank you.
You're welcome.
KPCW News Time 8:09. And taking a look in the backcountry, we've got Drew from the Utah Avalanche Center. Good morning, Drew.
Morning, Leslie. Yeah, the winds have been relentless, really, since Thursday. I mean, they really ramped up Friday. We had our first dust event, you know, the dust being picked up out of the southwest from the West Desert. We have a nice thin stripe of a dust layer that's now buried about 12 to 18 inches deep. Some of the avalanches from the ski areas are running on or adjacent to that dust layer. There's a little bit of grapple with the frontal passage just after that event. But I think that things will start to stabilize. We just need the wind to stop howling. So I think today's going to be our last day of winds, and probably the last day we'll warn of wind slabs, now primarily at the mid and upper elevations. Even though the winds have, you know, primarily been out of the westerly direction, we'll say northwest and southwest. But, you know, they've been swirling all around, and my party on Friday was able to trigger some avalanches on west-facing slopes. So they're just eddying around into unusual locations. They should start to stabilize. You just need to turn the wind off. But I'm optimistic, Leslie. You know, we have put to bed, you know, most recently, some weak faceted layers that were buried on Valentine's Day. Those are dormant. Our December drought layer facets are dormant. Our old facets from early season when we get off to a fairly slow start. Those have long been put to bed. So I think we're just really dealing with new snow instabilities, you know, wind slabs or loose snow instability. And I you know, even though we have areas of moderate today, I think we're going to trend towards low in the coming days. The fly in the ointment would be the Provo area mountains, which have gone through a series of natural avalanche cycles. And there are pieces of terrain there that remain suspect and weak. I mean, if you just look at the Provo forecast, you know, I know it's easy to get around the backside and check out the Cascade Ridgeline or Tippinogas. It's a different snowpack down there. And so extra caution should be observed if you're heading over to the Provo area mountains or up Snake Creek, Ant Knolls, all that stuff on the backside there. So it's a little bit of a different snowpack, but overall I'm pretty optimistic.
Okay, Drew, thanks.
Yep, thanks.
KPCW News Time now, 8:12. Right now, though, we are working on an hour with Park City Mountain and Epic Promise. Pleased to join Tara McDonald, Senior Manager of Resort Operations, along with Michelle Stevens, who is Senior Manager of Retail Operations. Good morning, ladies. So glad you could join us this morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning.
Yeah, let's start, with KPCW General Manager Renee Bodley and get an update for where things stand on day number two.
Good morning, Leslie. So day one yesterday was fantastic. We raised over $102,000, and we are starting this morning strong. Vail Epic Promise came in with a $2,500 supporting grant, and we want to give a big shout out to Broadcasters Club members Terry and Dave Camerata. They have renewed their gold membership in the Broadcasters Club, so we are starting the day with $5,000 in the bank, so we're very excited about that. Of course, our big goal for this pledge drive is to get new donors in the door. We normally raise about we normally get about 900 donations every pledge drive. We want to break the $1,000 level. We can do it.
1,000 member level.
Yep, 1,000. Thank you. 1,000 member.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's early in the morning. Sorry. I've had one cup of coffee. 1,000 members. So please, if you've never donated before, please call 435-649-9004. We have a room full of phone volunteers who are waiting to take your call. And if you are somebody who has benefited from Vail Epic Promise, maybe a nonprofit you're affiliated with has benefited from Vail Epic Promise, this next 45 minutes is your time to call in and give these folks a shout out on the air. They've given a lot of money to nonprofits in our community, and we're here to celebrate that this morning.
Yeah, we do want to thank our volunteers again. They show up early morning and help us out. Marlene Peacock is back again as our room captain. Blaine Bossing, Bill Lassar, Frank Mitchell, Rachel Solomon, Stacy Mendez. Thank you. Also, we've got Allison Keenan here and Araby Leary and Caroline Conrado. So again, a big thank you to our volunteers. But let's welcome again Tara and Michelle. And again, if your organization receives an Epic Promise grant, now's the time to call and say thank you. You can also donate online with a thank you message to the Park City Mountain Epic Promise team. Good morning, ladies. Thanks for getting here. Maybe let's just start and tell us that, you know, KPCW is a beneficiary of Epic Promise, and Renee could certainly tell us more about that. But how does that work from your side of things?
Absolutely. We're excited to partner with KPCW through Park City Mountain Epic Promise Grants. This year we hosted a First Tracks for KPCW back in January. It was a lot of fun to get everybody out before the mountain was open. And we also hosted a ski mountain mining tour, talking about the history of mining up at Park City Mountain.
Okay, and so in addition to those, I mean, they include ski passes for people who might not have them. You also, I mean, it's like a full-day event, huh?
Absolutely. Some of the ways we just support KPCW and other nonprofits is through cash and in-kind grants, as well as inclusive access. We try to focus those efforts supporting with youth, family need, access, community vitality, and anything environmental we can support through our local nonprofits.
Yeah, any idea how many of those First Track days that you hand out to
We did about 10 this year, and we tend to reserve those for what I like to call our flagship nonprofit partners. We're hosting Youth Sports Alliance on Thursday of this week. We did SOS Outreach, Friends of Mountain Mining History. So we love being able to welcome people before the mountain opens, and our grooming team and mountain operations teams put in a lot of work to make sure that things are just really well groomed out there and ready for the public early. It's a lot of fun.
435-649-9004 if you'd like to call and add your name here to one of the pledges this hour. Again, we're looking for 39 more pledges, so help us out here and give us a call. How important is what the Epic Promise provides, KPCW, Renee, to the station operations?
It's a big selling point for our broadcasters club. You know, the club brings in more than $600,000 in revenue to the station, which is a big chunk of our $2.3 million budget. And so when these members know, if they pay a minimum of $1,500 a year, broadcasters club is $1,000. But if you come in at the $1,500 level, then you get access to these ski events. And what we have heard from our members is that the First Tracks in particular is a huge appeal, because, just to echo what Tara said, the grooming has been impeccable on those First Tracks days, and we really do appreciate everyone, the Park City Mountain team, who gets up early to make sure those runs are ready to go for our Broadcasters Club members. There's another new thing that Epic Promise is providing for the station this year, and that is the space and the venue for our ski season kickoff party, and that is coming up this November, and we are going to have that at the Grand Summit, thanks to Vail Epic Promise, and we're excited about that, because in the past, the spaces that we have rented for that party, too many people show up and it gets really cramped. So we're excited about being in the Grand Summit. I think it's the Cocopelli rooms that we're going to be in.
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, and what better place to have a ski season kickoff party than at a ski resort?
435-649-9004. Stay tuned. Coming up on the Local News Hour, I'll be checking in with Wasatch County Manager Dustin Graybow. Later on, Utah Open Lands Executive Director Wendy Fisher with an update on some local space acquisitions. But again, just a couple of minutes here before we join in those interviews. We're working on this challenge with Park City Mountain and Epic Promise, looking for, again, 37 more calls or pledges during this hour so we can stay on track. Again, especially reaching out to the folks out there who may listen, tune in for the lost and founds or the traffic reports, the snow reports, whatever it is, or maybe just the local news and information. If you've yet to donate to KPCW, it's really important that we hear from you. Again, trying to hit that 1,000 unique call-in goals. So please help us out, 435-649-9004 or kpcw.org. And thanks. It's 8:19 now. Good morning. On the phone with an update from Wasatch County, I have General Manager Dustin Graybow. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's start with the fact that the County Council meets Wednesday with a couple of items on the agenda from Heber City. And Manager Matt Brower will be presenting. First is the Community Reinvestment Area, known as the CRA. Remind us of what this is and why Wasatch County needs to be involved here.
So Heber City a few years ago created a Community Reinvestment Area, which is a tax increment financed investment vehicle. So what that means is Heber City set a base year, I believe it's something like 2020 or 2021. And as values grow above that, the increased difference between what that base year is and what the new value is called the increment. And Heber City is dedicating that increment towards some specific projects. What they're hoping to do is get Wasatch County and the school district to participate in that tax increment, since we hold larger shares of the property taxes. And what I believe Heber City is presenting is their plan on what to use with those funds. So the question before the council will be, do they feel like this is a worthwhile investment as those areas grow? And some of the arguments in favor of it are based around if their increased value that is growing over time is due to the incentives that are being provided for things like parking or other infrastructure investments.
Mm-hmm. So how much of this would Wasatch County be giving up every year?
I believe the estimate is over a 20-year period, it's something like $8 million is what Heber City has requested. So it would be 75%, I believe, is what they've asked for.
Okay. And you're still negotiating. I guess what needs to change for the council to make this happen?
I think in the past, there was not a very specific plan for what to use with those funds. And I think Wasatch County Council was uncomfortable signing off on this type of financing without having a really clear idea on what those funds were going towards. I believe that this time Heber City is coming back with specific project and recommendations for which of those projects might be best aligned with Wasatch County's priorities.
All right. So can the money only be used within Heber City?
Yeah, there are some restrictions based on state code. It has to be used on affordable housing. And ultimately, whatever Wasatch County agrees to, that agreement will be what requires where those funds are used.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you think the council's leaning here? Something they can get behind?
I think there has been general support with some of the concepts. And I think there are possibly some of the projects like downtown parking. There are some questions on whether or not Heber City is interested in purchasing county-owned parcels in the downtown area for redevelopment. So those will be interesting areas of discussion. I know we are talking about building a new administration building on the agenda as well. And so that's kind of relevant to that discussion.
Yeah, let's talk real quickly about that. You are looking for some direction on putting out a request for a proposal for a county administration building. Are we talking about a remodel or a brand new building here?
We have been operating the assumption that we would be building a new building in a new location, just because we had completed a need study in 2021, and that found that the site that we're currently on would require a much taller building and structured parking that we think might be cross prohibitive.
Mm. So how much are you budgeting for a building like this?
The estimate in 2021 was for about $30 million for this administration building. It's definitely gone up from there. I can't say exactly how much. That's part of the process of engaging an architect to be able to design the building and get a better sense of what are the things that we need to prepare for. Thankfully, the county for many years has been saving and setting money, so we have a pretty significant portion of cash this project, so not all of it would need to be financed through some kind of other revenue stream.
Yeah, so what would you do with the old building?
That's part of the discussion of Heber City has expressed a desire to purchase it. And we're debating on the merits of selling this property compared to like some kind of property swap, just because the price of land is so expensive and, you know, the county's not getting any smaller any day soon. So,
yeah. What's the latest on the bypass? And it looks like we're calling it actually the Heber Valley Corridor now.
Yeah. So, UDOT, it's the Heber Valley Corridor Environmental Impact Statement is the study that UDOT is doing. I think it's always been referred for the last several decades in Heber as the bypass. So colloquially, people refer to it as the bypass. Right now, we are kind of waiting for UDOT to release the next step in the process, which is the draft EIS. So this would be the recommendation of the preferred route out of the current five alternatives, and if there are any tweaks to those alternatives based on their analysis. Part of the delay in why we're waiting for it is that the Mountain Land Association of Governments provides UDOT with traffic data through a travel demand model, and they're in the process of releasing a new version of that travel to demand model. So UDOT, rather than proceed with older data and provide a recommendation based on that older data, they're waiting until MAG has completed that update. So that's pushing this back from what originally would have been a last year, you know, fourth quarter release to maybe a second or third quarter release this year.
Okay. Let's see. Wanted to ask you just about the social media chatter I'm seeing again about the possibility of Deer Valley planning to put a chairlift into Midway via Wasatch State Park. Is there any truth to that?
I have heard discussions about that for a number of years, but I can't say whether it's progressed to any, you know, more meaningful discussions. I think there was a lot of interest there. I think it's possible that as the ski resort moves further south that and that they develop those areas, there might be increased demand for those things. But something like that chairlift, it would be very long and very expensive. It would cross multiple property owners, you know, state parks, Extel and others. So it would have to be a very collaborative process. There would need to be a lot of funds dedicated to it. So I think it's maybe something that will continue to be on the radar for some time. And I think only time will tell whether it becomes a reality.
And I guess I thought that Extel donated that 3,100 acres or so that basically would prevent that from happening. Or was that not the location that the property was in?
Yeah, so there are portions of the project that are in a massive conservation easement. That conservation easement does allow for ski uses. And so I don't know this for sure, but I would assume that things like chairlifts would maybe be eligible, or that they had planned around specific corridors for chairlifts to be exempted from those conservation easements.
Okay, so I guess what I hear you saying is that you don't know anything about it, but it certainly could happen at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I think just realizing that there is a lot of growth and continual pressure and how we handle traffic, I'm sure people many years ago would say there would never have been a gondola considered in Big Cottonwood Canyon. But now it's a hot topic of discussion. I think it's something that I don't see happening anytime in the near future, but maybe someday.
All right. Anything else, Dust, that you wanted to mention?
Not this morning.
All right. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
That's Dustin Graybaugh again, manager of Wasatch County. KPCW News Time now, 8:28. Coming up now on 8:29, good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher, along with KPCW General Manager Renee Bodley. Also joined in by Tara McDonald and Michelle Stevens with Park City Mountain. We're talking about the Epic Promise Foundation and how many nonprofits here in town are recipients of Epic Promise. But first, let's get to some thank yous. I know you do have a stack there, Tara.
Yeah, from Sarah Huey. With International Women's Day this Friday, I am donating in celebration of Tara and Michelle and the many wonderful women leaders I get to work with at Park City Mountain. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah.
Can I just give a shout out to Sarah? She has been great in responding to our news requests for stories on the mountain. And, you know, we are very lucky to receive a grant from Vail Epic Promise, but we've got a very strict firewall between, you know, our philanthropic side and our news side. And a lot of people say, gosh, you get money from Park City Mountain. Doesn't that impact your reporting? I can guarantee you it doesn't. And Sarah is very good about telling us I can comment on something or I can't comment on something, and we really appreciate her candor with us on that.
And she picked up a phone call on Sunday, so thanks, Sarah.
Yes, thank you.
What else you've got there, Michelle?
We've got donations from Alex and Lynn Rosas, Mary Plant, and Jim Doylney.
Thank you very much for Nudist Broadcaster Club membership.
Thank you, Jim. 435-649-9004. And let's talk a little bit about Vail Resorts Epic Promise. Can someone talk a little bit about just how much you folks hand out every year and locally here?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the past year, Park City Mountain, through Epic Promise, has awarded $5.75 million through cash and in-kind grants to 32 local nonprofits. We were really excited to support the Park City Community Foundation through the auction of our retired Red Pine Gondola cabins, which helped them raise an additional $403,000 for the Early Childhood Alliance.
Wow, so how did that go? It worked.
It was really exciting. We were able to open up the auction to the public and do that in connection with our Epic Promise partners, and all of those proceeds went to the Park City Community Foundation, and we had a big celebration in the Canyons Village after the auction ended for that. So
awesome. So those gondolas are out and about somewhere.
Yep, we staged them all in the Red Hawk lot over at the Silverado, and it was a project getting them moved to their new homes, I'll tell you that.
So when you talk about 32 local nonprofit organizations, how are those? I mean, we've got 100 in the community. How do you pick 32 of them?
Definitely, we look at nonprofits that focus on affordable housing, food security, accessible childcare, and environmental sustainability. So when those grants come in, there's a giving council that is comprised of our senior leadership members, and we look at those specific areas and try to grant to nonprofits that are doing good work in those spaces.
All right, and you also handed out a $250,000. This is over several years to Park City Education Foundation. Tell me about that.
Education Foundation has been one of our partners here with Epic Promise for a long time. We also support them through Running with Ed each year and have a couple of teams that go out and support that event, and happy to support the Education Foundation as well.
435-649-9004. Again, still looking for some phone calls here. We're down to about 32, so we'd love to hear from you. Again, we have, you know, you can choose a gift or not, but again, at that $1,000, you can become a member of the KPCW Broadcasters Club. We also have, at that $500 level, a dining and activity package, which includes gift certificates. We've got lift tickets, Bill White restaurant gift certificates, River Horse on Main. We also have, for the $250 level, gift cards to the Egyptian Theater, to Shabu Restaurant, Red Rock Brewery, and Eating Establishment. So again, pick a level that you're comfortable with. The important thing is that you make a pledge of support. Again, we're looking for 1,000 pledges this pledge drive here. No dollar amount, but hoping that it raises the money that it takes to operate KPCW for the next 6 months. 435-649-9004. It was a long time coming, but worth waiting for, the opening this past fall of the National Ability Center, McGrath Mountain Center. Tell us about that.
Back in October, we were able to open the McGrath Mountain Center with a new 9,400 square foot ADA accessible facility operated by the NAC. This is at the base of Park City Mountain, right next to the First Time Chairlift. It's been a long time coming. It's beautiful. If you haven't checked it out, it is such a pride of something that we've been able to partner with and help complete.
Yeah, so what happens with the double wide that they've been in there all these years? Any idea?
I think that's still in talks of what's going to happen with that. It is still on Mountain right now, but the new Mountain Center is gorgeous, and it provides right on snow access to all of those NAC participants. We're really proud to be able to support that.
Yeah, that's really, it's a beautiful building. I encourage people to stop in. 435-649-9004. Again, looking for some phone calls. We have some more thank yous here.
We do. Big thank you to Deidre Walsh. She has a comment for us. Thank you to Tara and Michelle for all that you do for our resort, an epic promise in our community. Cheers to another great winter at Park City Mountain. Thanks to our incredible team. Thanks, Deidre.
Thanks, Deidre.
And a thank you to Ann and Rupert Cox.
Again, you can be one of them by calling in your pledges of support, 435-649-9004.
I've got a question for these guys. The other night I drove by Slopeside Housing, and it was a lot of fun because a lot of the windows were open and the lights were on, and I admit, you know, I'm a curious person, so I saw, you know, ski jackets and ski helmets piled up on couches and on tables. And then there was this one window where there must have been about 15, 20 people looking like they're in their 20s and 30s, looking like they're having a great time. Are you finding that having that employee housing there has had a positive impact on your workforce? What are you seeing?
It absolutely has had a positive impact. The housing drive, that incentive brings new employees to the area, and it gives them the security that they know that they're going to be taken care of. They have a roof over their head. The facility comes with so much appliances and furniture. It's fully furnished. They really have everything they need so that they can come enjoy a season or a year or hopefully a career with us. It just takes away some uncertainty of moving to a mountain town.
And is it more than just seasonal workers? Do you have housing there for, you know, full-time employees who are there all year round?
We absolutely do.
Nice. I noticed that the Chamber of Commerce, the Park City Chamber of Commerce, put out a notice to their members that there may be a chamber membership benefit for your employees at Slopeside Housing. Do you guys have any information about that?
No? I don't think we do at this time, no.
Okay. We'll follow up on that for anyone who's interested.
435-649-9004.
Beth here with Pendry Resort in Canyons Village, proud supporters of KPCW. With Slopeside dining options, Kita Japanese Steakhouse and Sushi, rooftop pool house bar and grill, and Opry Pendry, with live music every weekend and local special events and offers year-round. We have staycation offers and all things for the mountain with Compass Sports and Spa Pendry. More at pendry.com/parkcity.
Brooks Kirschheimer, co-founder of Hearth and Hill Restaurant, located in Kimball Junction, and we are a proud supporter of KPCW. We welcome guests for lunch and dinner daily and brunch on Sundays. We offer a dog-friendly patio, handcrafted cocktails, and a menu with options for all. More information at hearth-hill.com or 435-200-8840.
Again, we're working on the challenge here with Vail Resort's Epic Promise. We have got in studio with us Tara McDonald, along with Michelle Stevens, and I'd like to thank all of you who have called in and made a pledge this morning and yesterday. Again, 4-day pledge drive, and looking for 1,000 unique donors here to help us raise the money it takes to support KPCW. Let's talk a little bit about just what Epic Promise is and your commitment, Vail Resort's commitment to the environment here. Who wants to take that on? Michelle?
Yeah, absolutely. So overall, the Epic Promise Foundation covers the natural environment, supporting our local communities and employees, and making our slopes more accessible and inclusive. So part of that is the environmental drive. Our sustainability pillar covers the environment of our business and the special responsibility to protect it. We've made a commitment to reach zero net operating footprint by 2030. We are on track to meet that goal. Park City is a big, big part of driving those initiatives. We achieved 100% renewable electricity for the second consecutive year across the company's 37 North America resorts. Achieved energy efficiency goal ahead of the company's 2030 target, driven by $10 million in on-mountain energy-saving investments since 2018. And we've reduced landfill waste by 6.1 million pounds, that's 36%, from our the company's baseline.
How's that done?
We actually have a local team that sorts and moves waste around the mountain. It's actually a pretty complicated procedure to get it all sorted, and all starts at our mountain dining restaurants, where if you guys will notice, we actually don't have trash cans in there. So we ask that everybody just leaves all of their refuse on trays, and our teams actually go through that and separate it into the appropriate waste streams. At that point, when it comes down from mountain, we have a dedicated team who makes sure that those waste streams go into all of the right facilities, comb through it, make sure there's not too much contamination in it. And we're really proud to have won Green Business of the Year award this year. So
that's right. Congratulations. So you don't even see that happening, right? I mean, that is so behind the scenes. When's all that taken down? Like after the lifts close, huh?
Correct. After the lifts close, we have some snowcats that support our on-mountain restaurants that bring it down to a loading dock area where another team actually goes through that all of that waste. It's a real commitment to the waste streams, keeping them clean, and our commitment to zero.
Yeah, and that's incredible to achieve 100% renewable electricity for 2 years in a row, just given the amount of electricity I'm guessing it takes to run chairlifts and such.
Correct. We are lucky to be partnered with a large wind farm down in Salt Lake City. So, I'm sorry, solar.
435-649-9004.
Just a quick heads up about our pledge drive. You know, we have different nonprofits come in every hour to support the radio station and also to earn free underwriting for themselves. And yesterday we had Friends of Ski Mountain Mining History come in. They are recipients of Vail Epic Promise. And we have a couple of donations that came in after they went off the air. These came in overnight. So I just want to do a quick shout out to Kirsten Fox with Fox School of Wine. She wrote Save Our Mines. She does a wines and mines tour with her company, so she has a vested interest in those mines. And then we also got a donation from Winnie and Nancy. Nancy and I couldn't be any happier to help Sally from Friends of Ski Mountain Mining History and all the wonderful people from KPCW. Thank you, Winnie and Nancy. And then here's another thank you from Leslie Miller. Thank you, Sarah Huey and Leslie Thatcher, for their confident communications of matters that impact our community. Thank you, Leslie Miller.
Thanks, Les. 435-649-9004. Again, we're waiting for a call in here from Wendy Fisher with Utah Open Lands, but we'd like to hear from you as well. Again, we've got a room full of volunteers running through a couple of pledge items that you can receive, even just at the $25 level. We've got some KPCW swag, including a baseball hat and a bumper sticker, a goggle cover. We've got some tote bags, short sleeve shirts. You can also receive a gift certificate to Alpine Apothecary, to the Back 40 Ranch House, or to Devanza's. We also have gift certificates to Lucky Ones located there in the lobby of Park City Library, Park City Desserts, or Park City Museum entrance to the museum. We also have a couple of tickets to the Swanner Nature Preserve's new exhibit Snow that runs through May 5th. Important thing is that you call 435-649-9004.
And these folks from Vail Epic Promise will read your thank you notes over the air. I think you have some, Michelle and Tara.
Thank you from Jerry and Rosalie Weeder for your great reporting.
Thanks Park City Mountain and Vail Resorts Epic Promise for all that you do in our community. The gondolas were so great last year and we're thankful for all you do. Kristen Schultz, Early Childhood Alliance.
From Gage Farinacci, Epic Promise is awesome. Thank you all.
And from Cindy McDonald, great job, Epic Promise. Keep the good work going.
All right, sure, appreciate your support. 435-649-9004. On the phone now with an update from Utah Open Lands, I have Executive Director Wendy Fisher. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Leslie.
So let's start with the Forever Farm Hub Project with Wasatch Community Gardens. Tell me, what's this?
This was actually a great project that was, believe it or not, like 3 years in the making. Wasatch Community Gardens, I think as many people know, is an organization that works a lot with urban farming, but they're also doing some amazing things from a regenerative agriculture perspective that's really scalable, that you can use on agricultural landscapes throughout the state. And one of things that they really desperately needed was a place that wasn't going to be basically pulled out from underneath them as they continue to grow these programs with respect to, you know, microgreens and also this regenerative agricultural element. And so the property that they had been on was actually an RDA piece, and it's now going to be moving through for development. And so there was this opportunity that we had with a landowner who was interested in making sure that the soil and the productive land that they had and kind of the downtown west side Salt Lake area was going to be protected forever. And Wasatch Community Gardens wanted to look for a new home. And so in the Glendale area, right off of a trail spur from the Jordan River Parkway Trail, is about 2.5 acres of land that is forever going to be protected. It is protected by a conservation easement, and it is really the new home for Wasatch Community Gardens and the really great programming that they're doing.
Awesome. The Wasatch County Council will be holding a public hearing tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, about the possible purchase of the Laren Gertsch property. This is located along Highway 113 near Heber. So it sounds like Utah Open Lands has been able to secure some federal funding for this?
Yeah, there are actually two really critical projects. They're both in the North Fields area that Utah Open Lands has been able to secure federal funds for. So one of them is the Laren Gertsch property. It's approximately 165, 167 acres, and it's on an entry corridor, I think, for both the Heber area and for Midway. The other property is what we refer to as the Kissel Mitchell property, and it is on the entry corridor to Midway from River Road. But with both of these projects, we've received federal funding to help us move forward in the conservation easement. Both landowners are also making a contribution. For the Gertsch property, Laren Gertsch and his family is making an over $3 million contribution of value. So when it really comes down to it, the money that we're requesting from Wasatch County, from the open space bond funds to protect this property in the North Fields, we're leveraging that in basically a 6-to-1 ratio, which quite frankly, with a lot of these open space bonds, that becomes a really hard thing to do. So both of these projects we think are critical projects to move forward, and that's why we're requesting funding from Wasatch County.
Okay, and I think you're asking for about 2.2 from the county itself through the Open Space Fund. How much federal funding did you get to match with that then? Because we're over $5.5 million here.
Yeah, we got $6.5 million from the federal to match that funding. And it's something that we see as really being vital for doing more land protection in the North Fields area. We think it sets the stage for this being a priority for some of those federal funds. As I'm sure listeners are aware, the Inflation Reduction Act and the Farm Bill both have received some significant funding that can move a lot of these projects forward. One of the other properties that we had already requested and received approval from Wasatch County in the Northfields, so this was almost a year ago that we received approval for the Giles property, and that we also received $2 million in federal funding, which means that the funding for the Giles property is now complete, and we're just needing to move through the federal funding process. So, you know, a lot of money is coming to the Wasatch back in terms of these federal funds that can really help ensure the protection of some of these places that we really, really care about. I think the Northfields is something that was really identified when the bond was passed as being one of those really important places that people wanted to protect. It's got amazing carbon sequestration values. It's a sub-irrigated area that has some significant wetland values, habitat values for sandhill crane and moose and deer and even elk. So it is a really, really valuable area that we think we're making some great headway and some great progress. I've been coming to the Wasatch County area since 1994, and it's been identified by leaders, county managers. The Northfields has been identified as a place that they want to see protected.
All right, so this Giles property, how many acres are we talking here?
So the Giles property is approximately 58 acres. And some of these properties in the Northfields also have lots of record. So essentially we're retiring basically three lots of record with that. But it is a highly visible property. And again, with the funding from the federal government, as well as the funding from Wasatch County, and then also funding that we received from the state Lee Ray McAllister program last year, that all is going into making sure that Giles property is completely funded at this point for the conservation easement.
Yeah, and then that other piece you mentioned, the Kissel-Mitchell property, how many acres are we talking here?
So that's 37 acres. And it's right along River Road. And I think the thing that is significant with the Mitchell Kissel property is that it is also adjacent to the Albert Kohler Legacy Farm. So we worked with the Kohler family to protect that property. It was one of the first large landscape open spaces protected with Wasatch County open space bond funds and Midway City open space bond funds. Midway City already committed some of their last bond dollars, $250,000, to the Kissel Mitchell property. And then we received $2.5 million in federal funding for that. So we're asking for $750,000 from the Wasatch County Open Space Bond Fund, because this is actually a project that's in the county. But again, it's a significant piece when you look at the entry corridor. So it really protects the view of the Mitchell Kissel property, as well as, you know, further on the Albert Kohler Legacy Farm, which of course was protected last year.
Yeah. And you mentioned the Inflation Reduction Act. I mean, this is kind of like, once it's gone, huh? So,
yeah, and that, Leslie, I think is a really, really important thing. We certainly want to send the message to our federal partners that we are appreciative of the leveraging and that the communities really are behind this so that we can continue to get these dollars. Because you are absolutely right. Once it is gone, it's gone. And we don't see that there's going to be this kind of really increase in funding that we've seen in the last year or so through these farm policies, the Farm Bill policies, and the Inflation Reduction Act. So that's one of the other reasons that we think it's really important. We'd like to get the support for the Gertsch and the Kissel Mitchell property and then move on to some additional properties in the Northfields as well.
Okay. Wanted to ask you, you mentioned the McAllister Fund. What is the state of that fund now after the end of this legislative session?
Well, it could be better, right? We always look at that sometimes at the end of the legislature. The good news is that it's ongoing funding. So it did get an appropriation for $1 million for ongoing funding. I think the tough part of that is when you look at the amount of requests, certainly that Utah Open Lands, and I know other organizations, are getting from landowners who want to exercise their private property right to preserve their land. $1 million doesn't go a long way in terms of leveraging some of these federal funds or even some of these local funds. So the great news is that it's ongoing. That means we have a Leroy McAllister fund that's more solid at this point. The other thing we'd love to see is something that really matches some of these federal dollars and some of these local dollars that are out there.
Okay. All right, Wendy. Hey, thanks so much for the update. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Wendy Fisher is the executive director of Utah Open Lands. Again, we've got about 7 minutes here to raise, 17 more phone calls at 435-649-9004. We spent the hour here with Tara McDonald and Michelle Stevens with Park City Mountain, with the Epic Promise Foundation as well, again, which has supported KPCW all these years, along with many other nonprofit organizations. Let's get to a couple of thank yous. I've got one here from Sharon Otteson, proud to support the Epic Promise Foundation and all the amazing work it does for our Park City Mountain employees, as well as the local community. And a big shout out to Michelle and Tara for doing a great job on air. So thank you, Sharon. Let's talk a little bit about that. Park City Mountain Employee Foundation. How does that work?
Yeah, our Employee Foundation is actually a 501c3 nonprofit. We created it back in 2016. It's run by employees for employees. Company employees and our guests, the fundraising comes from company employees, our guests, and foundation supports and their families, providing financial assistance through emergency relief grants and education grants. So it's really there to protect against unexpected things that pop up in life and to get a head start in education for dependents and for our staff themselves.
Yeah, do you have any idea how much you guys handed out through that foundation last year?
I'm not sure I have those numbers right in front of us right now, but we do have a board member, a board that takes all of those special hardship cases, whether it be mental wellness or physical wellness, and reviews those and grants relief to those employees in time of need. So it's a really great service and opportunity for our employees that we're proud that they take advantage of.
Okay, 435-649-9004. And I guess the big deal this year, of course, is we're celebrating 60 years of Park City Mountain. I know you had a big celebration last month. You got any more celebrations planned this coming before the season ends?
Oh yeah, we're gonna celebrate all the way through the end of the season. Our spring concert series at the Canyons Village kicks off this Saturday, March 8th, and is gonna run through Saturday the 13th. So those concerts are from 3 to 5 at the Canyons Village, and they're free and open to the public, and we'd love for everybody to come out and celebrate with us all season long.
Real quick, traffic update. Interstate 80 eastbound we've got traffic backed up to almost the Jeremy exit. There is no accident, apparently, but we're just people trying to get off there at Kimball Junction. So heads up that you're going to be sitting in some traffic as you kind of come in through 224. Talk a little bit about some of the concerts that you do have coming up. Those are going to be where? Both sides of the mountain?
Canyons Village primarily at the Forum stage there. Hopefully, we love the snow, but hopefully we'll get a couple of sunny days where we can all kind of bask in that fun Opry world.
Okay. You're also celebrating International Women's Day. That's this weekend with the first Women's Weekend. Tell me about that.
So from March 8th to the 10th, like you said, this weekend, we'll have a variety of clinics at the Canyons Village, avalanche safety, beginner skiing and riding, terrain park, and freestyle clinics. There'll be a screening of Advice for Girls over at the library, Opry parties in Canyons Village, and you can find all of those details on our website, parkcitymountain.com.
We've got a bunch of thank yous to get through. Tara, why don't we start with you?
Awesome. Thank you to Jen Cambria and Kurt Doherty for calling in their donations. Thank you to Chris Neville. Thank you, Epic Promise and KPCW, for supporting our community and nonprofits. From Carrie Cusimano, thank you to Deidre and the entire Vail Epic Promise team for all you do in the community. And from Sarah Irvin here at KPCW, thank you, Tara and Michelle, and the full Epic Promise team for the community grants to KPCW and so many other nonprofits around town. And on behalf of the Irvin family, thank you for working so closely with PCSS, Park City Ski and Snowboard, to support all the young skiers around town who train on Park City Mountain.
I have a thank you to Brad and Michelle Hart for renewing their Broadcasters Club. Woohoo. Monica from Habitat, thank you, Epic Promise, for supporting Habitat so generously. Thank you, Michelle and Tara. You are what make Epic Promise come to life. And thanks, Leslie, for your reporting from Mike Lewis.
Thanks, Mike.
And Bob Richer, President of Mountainland Board of Trustees, says, on behalf of the entire staff and Board of Trustees of Mountainland Community Housing, we would like to thank Vail Epic Promise for all that they do for our community.
Thank you, Bob Richer. And I have a thank you here from Kathy Stanger. She says, thank you, KPCW, for always being there. And as Leslie just demonstrated, when there are traffic situations to tell you about, KPCW is there.
Okay, we got more fun stuff happening at the resort. Pond Skim is back.
Pond Skim is back. We'll probably, as far as I know, we'll be hosting that at the Eagle Super Pond again this year. We love seeing everybody come out in their costumes. That's scheduled for April 6th right now. And we'll be sharing more information coming soon on that.
Okay, and summer will be back as soon as the snow melts. Anything new there?
No, nothing new. Just looking forward to our usual fun summer activities, the Alpine Slide, Mountain Coaster, golf, bike rental, summer concert series, and Big Stars Bright Nights by Park City Institute will return to Canyons Village.
Okay, you gonna do additional concerts there at Canyons Village?
Yeah, we started with Big Star Bright Nights last year, and we were really excited to host some fun shows at the Canyons Village, and that's coming back again this summer with an even bigger lineup.
Okay. And do you do others, though, besides the Institute shows?
Yep. We will be hosting Latin Arts Fest again with a music festival that will be opening weekend at Canyons Village, I believe. And our normal Canyons Village concerts on your Saturdays and Thursdays.
Yeah, and then Song Summit, I think, returning as well.
Song Summit as well.
All right. We've got a few minutes left, not about a minute left here, and I want to make sure that you have opportunity to talk a little bit about the uphill access. I know that there's been a lot of reporting on this about the chance of losing it. It's dangerous. We've got big equipment out there. And
absolutely.
Right?
And mountain operations are going on 24 hours a day. We have winch cats and snowmobiles traveling around at night. So we are asking the community to adhere to the uphill and downhill route, which is the same. There has been some confusion about that. It is home run to the top of the angle station or the top of town lift, and it is the same route downhill so that our operators can feel confident in getting their jobs done at night and preparing the mountain for the next morning.
And what that means is that you come around home run, you're basically on that green run. So you have to make that left-hand turn. You don't head up Phil's Hill.
Correct. It is the switchbacks, so we would love for people to stick to that route. And just a reminder, you guys can text uphill to 435-244-7169. That info is also on our website, and we will send out alerts and updates about the uphill program through that straight to your cell phone. And please help us keep it open.
Yeah, we want it open. Hey, thank you guys so much for joining us this hour. You did a great job raising a bunch of money for KPCW. Sure appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.